Our scripture reading today comes from Paul's second letter to the churches at Thessalonica, chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, and I invite you to hear these words. Paul writes, "But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock, our redeemer, and indeed the one who is with us. Amen." This letter of Paul is being written to those Christians living in the city of Thessalonica. At the time, the city was over 250,000 persons. It was one of the significant cities of the eastern part of the Roman Empire. It was one of the key communication centers for Rome as it extended east into Asia Minor, into what was then the Parthian East of Persia. Paul is writing to a community that feels that they have been forgotten, that something amazing has happened to a lot of other Christians and they simply didn't matter, that what had happened around them meant that they were not welcomed, that they had no place in the body of Christ. They felt like they had not gotten the invitation, let alone the opportunity to RSVP. Because some had come into the community informing them that Jesus had indeed returned. And if he had indeed returned, he had left them behind. He had chosen not to go to those Christians living in Thessalonica in their house churches. There would have been concern and anxiousness. There would have been fear and consternation. Did we do something wrong? Why were we not included? Why did everyone else experience this good thing and we did not? Why did Jesus go to them? Why didn't Jesus come to us, to me? And so it's in the context of that experience, and we know that experience. It's that moment when it feels like every good thing is happening to everyone else but us. Our friends did really well on that test, and we did not. Our friends' jobs are secure. Mine is not. The doctor is called again and wants a follow-up test. They ruled out these things, but there's still this potential of cancer or this illness lurking. And we wonder why it has fallen upon us. Secretly wondering, why didn't this fall upon somebody else? If we're honest, and God can handle that kind of honesty. It's that feeling that something's not right. It's that feeling of Murphy's Law that if anything bad can happen, it's going to happen to me. If you've ever had that feeling in your life, or maybe you know someone who has, then you may understand a little bit of what these Christians in Thessalonica were feeling. And so it was with urgency that Paul responds and writes this second letter. He is unable to be with them in person, so he does what is most possible for him, and that is to write this next letter sent with a scribe to then read it to these churches. They would have gathered in probably the largest home of Christians they could have found so that the community could have been together to hear these words. Some questioning the rumor that Jesus has returned, some wondering why they had been left behind, some just wondering about what do we hold on to? What is the foundation of our faith in this moment? And they begin to hear these words in the second chapter as Paul writes them. He says, "But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation." Paul is immediately reminding them that I, Paul, give thanks to God for you. Let's begin with that. He begins also by saying, first and foremost, Jesus has not returned yet. He gets that out of the way very quickly in his letter. But he turns his attention to these wounded men and women, wounded in the heart, wounded in their souls, feeling as if they have no community, no one to welcome them, no one who would want them. And again, we hear these words in verse 13, but we must always give thanks to God for you. Isn't that powerful? In the midst of this crisis, in the midst of this chaos in these churches of Thessalonica, what is Paul's word? Paul's word is this, I give thanks for you, Thessalonica. I give thanks to you for your faith in Jesus Christ, for the way in which God chose you, for the way in which the power and presence of Jesus Christ, the falling of the Holy Spirit upon your lives, occurred in you when I was with you. I was a witness of your testimony. I was a witness of the outpouring of God's Spirit within your life and into the lives of those around you. I have been a witness of you living compassionate lives of peace and justice in this incredibly large community of people who have no idea who Jesus is. And yet you are the way in which they will discover his peace, his forgiveness, his grace, his reconciliation. To a battered people, Paul writes, I give thanks to God for you. Paul saying to them quite simply, I am a believer. I continue to be a believer because of what I have seen in you. And those words are pure power to the congregations and the Christians in Thessalonica. But they are words of power to us this morning. And I am one of those lucky ones as one of your pastors, as your senior pastor, that I can say the same thing about you. I always give thanks to God for you. Not just this section. All of you. Although you guys were looking great. You were alone. You were like, yeah, you're right. It's us. But it's your friends as well that's sitting on the left and right and above you as well, too. But I always give thanks to God for you. For your willingness, your choice to live boldly the love of Jesus Christ, which is not a following the rules faith, is a faith lived out in its love, in its compassion to those around us. It's taking seriously loving God and loving others. And that is significant. In this community, through the various nonprofits, through this church, and through the various nonprofits that you volunteer in, and the schools that you are a part of, you are witnesses of Jesus Christ, and I give thanks for the way in which your lives are a model and an invitation to this Jesus who welcomes everyone. We are living in the midst of a time in our community where we have had several suicides since the beginning of the year, of students in our school system. They are reminders to us that this community is not healthy. And sometimes it is in the most vulnerable that you see the most pain. And so I am grateful in the midst of this moment of chaos in our community for your willingness to be caring and compassionate to everyone, to all who are struggling and suffering, to all who are seeking to find a community that would welcome them, not closing a door and saying you're not welcome, but instead opening the doors of your lives and this church and saying there is a space for you. You matter. That is one of the most powerful witnesses that we can offer as the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ to the community around us, is to say to those around us, especially those who may feel like these Thessalonians, that they have been left out or forgotten or ignored or that they don't count, that you matter, that you are loved fully and completely by God, that your life is significant, and that God loves you. God knows you completely, and God is there with arms wide open, welcoming you into a healing, holy, healthier lifestyle and community, an opportunity to be welcomed as you are into a church community such as ours. Paul wrote these words because he wanted us to know, and I believe God inspired these words of Paul as a reminder of the power of our witness, not just in the sanctuary on a Sunday morning, but in every moment and every hour of the rest of the week, be it at home, at work, at school, in the community. And I am thankful to God that you take these words seriously. That you don't sit there thinking, I guess these are good words for someone else. But that you take ownership of your role in being the good news of Jesus Christ, of being that welcoming person, of being that dispenser of God's grace, because you have received that grace. It has transformed your lives. It has changed you. It has helped you to be more loving, more gracious, more generous, more welcoming. And Paul says that is the significant key to our witness, is helping others to feel that same acceptance, that same welcome. We have been engaged in that mission and ministry throughout the year here at St. Paul's and in our community. We have made it a point and a priority that those who are hungry are fed, that those without the proper clothes for the season have those clothes or winter jackets or hats or scarves or mittens. We have made the commitment that students that need notebooks and pencils and pens for school so that they can learn, have those items so that they can learn. We're not doing it to puff up ourselves or make ourselves feel good. We're doing it because it's what Jesus has called us to do. It's how we respond. We have teams that are at Baldwin Center helping to provide a meal on Mondays. We have volunteers through our church working at Neighborhood House, through the Assistance League, through the schools, helping those who are hurting. We are not absent from the world. Instead, we are right in the midst of it, living out the love of Jesus Christ. That is why I give thanks. Because I believe that we are greater because of that commitment. Because we are responding out of the grace that God has given us. We're not following the rules. Instead, we are living out of God's grace. We are responding with love. And we are meeting people wherever they are in their lives. And we're meeting them with the love of Jesus Christ. That is why I give thanks. Paul encourages the Thessalonians to stand firm and hold fast to those traditions that they were taught. They were Paul himself. They were Paul's words of the good news of Jesus Christ, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and of Jesus' greatest commandment to love God completely and to love your neighbor as yourself. He said, stand firm and hold fast to that. If you can do nothing else, then first love God and love others as yourself. Do that first. And you are becoming a witness and living as a witness of Jesus Christ. That's the tradition that Paul is speaking of. That's what he's inviting these Christians in Thessalonica to hold fast to. It is not the 613 laws of the Torah. That doesn't apply to these Christians. He's inviting them to live out that greatest commandment because it's a higher standard. Because it's one based on loving God and loving others. And I am grateful because you have made that same choice to love God completely and to love your neighbor as yourself. You have made that commitment in your families, in your neighborhood, in the places you work, in this community where you're shopping. You've made that decision to be that kind of a witness. And I know that because other people in this community tell me about you. Hey, I saw some of your church members today. Ooh, isn't that a leader? And then they tell me about that work of grace. Or, you know, there was a difficult time. Someone was struggling paying their bill at Hollywood Market. One of your church members helped pay that bill. I saw your church members hang around at a place because there were some kids that were still waiting for their parents to come and to make sure there was a plenty of support and that they had the right supervision. Some of your church members, they stayed around and made sure everybody was safe. I saw that when your church members cared for that person who wasn't feeling well. And they stayed there and they waited until an ambulance came so that the paramedics could provide for them. I get to hear those stories. I have the privilege of hearing those kind of stories about your faith, living it out. It's a powerful, profound witness. It's why I give thanks to God for you each and every day, for the power of your witness to change lives. It's significant. And so I'm going to echo what Reverend Grimet said, because he's echoing in a small talk what I said at the 9 o'clock service. So we're going to keep the stream going. I want you this week to take a moment each day of this week and find someone that you can say thank you to, who is a part of your life. Thank them for their presence in your life. They may be somebody that you know well. They may be someone you don't know well, but you encounter them a lot in your life. I want to encourage you to thank God for someone else, because I thank God for you. I want you to pass that on and to thank God and to thank them for their part in your life. They may be completely surprised by how much their presence means to you. The other reality is they may not hear that from very many other people in the world around them. And so you being intentional about thanking them for something that they have done for you, for their presence in your life, may be a gift that you will never know its power and its value. But as our children have that assignment, we want all of us to have that assignment this week. Take time to thank God for those who are part of your life. Even as I have the privilege of continuing to thank God for your presence in my life, in Sarah's life, and in Ryan's life. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks that you indeed are at work in our lives and that we are priceless in your sight, that you cherish us and love us completely, and that you extend that invitation to everyone around us. God, help us to live out this love. Help us to be the community you've called us to be, to engage in this intentional journey of being a disciple, of giving someone else the opportunity of knowing your love in ways that we have experienced it, of being welcomed, affirmed, included. In your holy name we pray. Amen.